Episode 349, March 5th, 2018.
This episode is brought to you by Playapod, the best cross-platform podcast app for iOS and Android. Just visit playapod.com and download it for free.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
So I haven't done this in a while. Today I fell down the stairs.
Now, were you wearing socks and there's carpet on the stairs? Is that how it happened?
Yes.
Yeah, that's happened to me before. I've fallen on ice and I've definitely fallen on the carpet. But right now, I know I'm only 49 years old.
Yep, hanging in there.
But I have a lot of stairs in my house.
Oh, yeah.
And they're very steep. So, I handrail it. I don't risk it. Every time I walk down the stairs, I handrail it. Now, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I still fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
At least once a year, I fall down the stairs. I remember, I probably shouldn't tell this story, but somebody that I used to live with about 6 years ago took a huge tumble down the stairs one time.
Oh, boy.
And I think that in that case, falling down the stairs, the pain, but also the embarrassment, it became a much bigger, bigger issue. Yeah.
Well, it was a dual old person moment with Tawanda and I, because she, for like the third time in 2 weeks, left her wallet at home. So now I'm finding it and going to bring it to her. So I'm on the phone
with
her.
Third time in 2 weeks?
Yes.
That's not an exaggeration.
No.
Out of 10 days, she forgot it three of the days.
Yes.
Okay.
So I am talking to her on the phone because I went upstairs and I found and I called her. So I have the wallet in my right hand, the phone in my left, and I'm walking down the stairs. And then halfway down, I slip, and I think I can recover, but I don't. And I just, you know, boom, 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 boom to the bottom. And
but as you're on your butt going
yes.
down. Okay, that's yes. a lot better than the alternative.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I said, I got to call you back because I got to make sure everything's okay. And then it was just a little bumps and bruises, but nothing.
And pride.
Yeah, and pride. Yes. So that was how my day went. Welcome to the show, everybody. Joe, you and Katie went on a little mini vacation.
I mean, is it mini? We were gone 5 days. It's a real vacation.
It is a real vacation.
You know what? Here's the thing. Katie loves to travel.
I can tell that.
It's not that I don't like to travel. I do. But I'm more of a communal guy. You know,
yeah.
Let's get a bunch of people together and do these things. But Katie wants to just be somewhere different than she is, which, hey, you know what? This is the woman I love. I want to make sure that she gets the things that she wants. She loves to go away. Man, Chicago was great. I had
I've never been a fucking blast.
Yeah, so there was never a time where we stopped having something to do.
That's awesome.
And it, we
were
went
you
to
staying
the,
downtown? You had a nice hotel.
Right downtown at the EMC2. I saw my cousin, Robbie. I saw Paul. I saw, hey, guess what Paul drives, Robbie?
Tesla.
Nothing. Doesn't have a car.
Oh, really?
He's retired. Do you know that?
No,
whatever.
This
is probably not a conversation to have on our show. Anyway, so I went to the aquarium, saw the belugas, went to the planetarium. Hey, when we went to the aquarium, We saw an anaconda eating a rat.
That's pretty cool.
Dude, I mean, that's a one in a million, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure they feed them every day. Right, right. That's probably one in ten. Well, it doesn't matter. I've never seen anything like it. And it was cool. Went to the planetarium. We went to, God, I can't even think of it. We went on a food tour.
Yeah, I saw all that. You were constantly eating.
What restaurants did you go to?
So it isn't necessarily restaurants. We got deep dish. I can't remember the. Oh, I know what it was because it sounded like Illuminati. It was like Luminati or something like that. Was the guy's name?
Luminelli?
That's it. Something
it's
like that.
Luminati.
What is it?
Luminati.
Right. It sounded like Illuminati, right? So we went there.
You pissed me off.
Dude, you didn't get Marcus's tour guide.
Yeah, that was dumb. I should have talked to Marcus. So let me tell you where else. Tell me if we went to the right places, Marcus. We also got a. We got a hot dog with the pickle on it and all that crap. Where's the best place to get that? We'll see if we went there.
If you're downtown, go to the Wiener Circle. If you're out in the burbs, go to Superdog.
Okay, we didn't go to that. Okay. Some other place.
Well, there's Gold Coast that you could have gone to as well.
Where do all the sheep go?
Wiener Circle.
No. Okay, so I don't know the name of the place we went. We got a hot dog. We got Italian beef. And we got that at
good
some...
choice.
We got some little corner. You know, it's one of these things. It seats like eight people. There's pictures of every celebrity that ever lived on the wall. Right. But they're all like, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. You know, nobody nobody from the last 30 years is on the wall. Right. Can I say this? Italian beef sucks. It's nowhere near as good as a cheesesteak. I mean, it's not even in the same stratosphere as a cheesesteak. The hot dog was great. I love that. The deep dish I loved. And what am I thinking? We got...
Is it better than the Sonic hot dog with the pickle on it?
It's a little bit better than the Sonic. By the way, forget what food we got. Man, Katie is turning into me.
Well, that's not good.
No.
Because that's... We want Katie to be... We want you to turn into Katie.
Before we get to the food, what she did on the food tour, let me tell you what she did on the airplane.
All right.
Okay, we're sitting there, and there's a guy, and he's one row in front of us on the other side.
Okay.
I mean, we are watching the movie that he's watching on his iPad. We're watching it.
All right.
And he is watching the movie Wonder. Are you familiar with Wonder?
No.
You know what it is, Robbie?
Yeah, I know what it is.
Yeah, it's Owen Wilson and Julia Roberts and some kid with a fucked up face, and it's the story of how it's basically Mask, but not as good, you know?
Gotcha.
So this guy... We're watching him, and he is fucking bawling. I mean, he's not just crying. He's bawling, and tears are coming off his eyelashes. And he's like he's exhaling, blowing up his... Katie is fucking videoing him.
Good for her.
Okay? Now, that's bad enough, because by the way, this guy, he's clearly in the military. He's huge. He's got a buzz cut. Did you see the video? I think she sent it.
I don't think I saw
it. Okay. So
I'm on her side so far.
This guy, she's videoing him. Well, hold on. Now all of a sudden, I'm like, well, that's cool. That's going to be hilarious to, you know, shit on this guy when he's not 5 feet from us. That's fun to do.
Sure.
So she goes, look at this. And she holds up the phone. She's showing me the video. Now, meanwhile, I am literally reading every single thing on the woman in front of me phone in between the seats. She's now showing everybody behind us that she is invasively videoing this military guy crying, and we're laughing at him. So I'm like, hey, like, I'm pushing it away. Like, I don't want to fucking see this. She's like, what, you don't want? You don't think it's funny? What, are you too good for it? Whatever. So I...
And you're mid-flight now.
Right. We are literally mid-flight. So if there's an issue, I have to deal with it for another hour. It's a 2-hour flight. So that's the first thing she does. And by the way, this has been a pretty normal thing where in order to make the joke, she doesn't care. Well, of course, I do that too, but I don't want to get beat up. But I think Katie knows that she's not going to get beat up. I am.
Yeah.
She doesn't care.
Well, this guy's too busy crying. He's too sad to beat you up.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not the guy. It's the people behind us. And I'm always worried they're going to be like, well, these people, you know, hey, stewardess, these people are videoing different people. Is that Sorry, flight attendant. Sorry about that. Me too. Anyway, so she did that. But
there's more. Okay.
We're on this food tour. And maybe I asked for it a little bit because when we went to the first place, Illuminati, when we went to this place, they serve the pizza. Katie gets her pizza first. She takes a bite, and I literally... By the way, there's 16 people there. We don't know any of them. I go, what, you're not going to wait for everybody else? I literally just call her out in front of everybody, right? And, of course, they're laughing.
So
but
is that her being a dick or you being a dick?
That's me being a dick, okay. Right? But I was just being hilarious. It was over in 2 seconds. They knew that I was just being funny, whatever.
Sure.
Anyway, So we're talking, we're meeting different people, and the coolest couple was a couple, they were dating. One was from London, the other one was from Hungary. Okay.
All right.
And they were like one of these, you know, cool, you know, foreign couples, however you say it. Anyway, so although they're on a food tour, so I don't know how cool they were. Either way, they appeared cool. So I'm
talking. Well, you guys think you're cool and you're on a food
tour. No, we're cool. So I'm trying to get to know people, right?
Yeah.
The two people that were from Pittsburgh, they're moving to Chicago to be actors.
Interesting.
The one guy was clearly gay. The girl was not attractive. So I like, she's going to be in love with this guy. He's going to be in love with whatever, you know.
Right.
Penis acting. Right. Yeah. But it was going to happen. And I'm like, can you sing? No. Can you dance? No. So I don't know what they were coming to
not
Chicago.
Not very good for a gay guy.
I'm like,
usually gay guys that want to act can do those things.
I'm like, do you do like any comedy or anything? Well, I'd like to. Well, you better fucking learn that. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Well, the lady from London, she worked for some studio, like a special effects studio.
Uh-huh.
And I go, oh, any movies that I would have been familiar with. Now, I was wearing a Star Wars sweatshirt. You're going to like this, Marcus. Because it was given to me for Christmas, not because I love Star Wars. Matter of fact, I haven't even seen the new Star Wars. I haven't even seen it. So we're going on different stops on the food tour, and they stop at an escape room to try to sell us on the idea of going to this at another time, right?
Yeah.
So we get in there, and the guy's telling the story. And he's like, well, yeah, the guy who designed this escape room worked on the new Star Wars. And as soon as he says that, Katie goes, big deal. So did she. And points at this woman. And you could look you could look at her face and tell she was so fucking embarrassed, right?
Had she worked on it?
Yeah, she said she worked on it. Sorry, I left that part out. Yes. She said, yeah, I worked on the new Star Wars. And she goes, big deal. So did she. And as soon as that guy said that, I had this tiny split second to say, wow, I could say she worked on the new Star Wars, but I'm not going to do that. That literally ran through my mind. And as I was saying how God, she literally just takes a shit on this woman. Now, she was cool with it or whatever, but you could tell immediately when it happened, she was 100% embarrassed. But the food tour was cool. Everything we did was cool. We did that thing where you stand up on that, you know, that, it's a glass bottom and yes. You look, you know, 103 stories down. We also went to the other big building. Which one is it, Marcus? One is the it's like the Weller Tower or whatever. It used to be the Sears Tower. I can't remember what it's called. And then
sounds like you learned. Sears Tower is now the Willis Tower.
That's at the Willis Tower.
Sounds like you learned a lot.
The Hancock.
The Hancock's the other one we went to. By the way, there's one in between, and that's kind of funny. I'll tell you about this in a second. But we went to the Hancock, and we went there at night, and that was way cooler. First of all, it wasn't as
great
crowded.
View.
Yeah, it was awesome to see all the lights. I loved it. But there's a building in between those two that says Trump on it. The T in Trump is bigger than this house. It's just giant Trump. They stuck on the side of this building. Well, when you go to the Willis, they have a little map of the skyline. And it's like, oh, this is where this building is. This is Wrigley Field. You're looking, and they have 1, 2, 3, 4. The Trump building, which is the second biggest, tallest building in Chicago, has no markings on it. they act like it doesn't exist. Now, meanwhile, in the picture, it's there. You see this giant building, and they don't even say what this fucking thing is.
It's Obama's town.
They just leave that thing, sit there, big as fuck, and you have no idea what it is.
Now, do you have some pride in Katie becoming like you, or is it like, oh my God, I've created a monster?
No, I love it. I love all of it. Now, I don't love when she puts me at risk.
Right.
That's the thing I don't love.
But see, that part I love.
Everything else I love. I don't want to be at risk, because again, she's never been in a situation where she's never going to have to fight anybody.
Yeah, but she can get away with things. She has hot girl privilege.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Bad boys.
And she doesn't know that they're not going to say anything to her. They are going to say something to her aggressively. Now, I have to come to her defense.
All you have to say is, look, she says things when she's hot. What am I going to do, leave her?
Yeah. What, you think I'm going to do better?
Right. I mean, this is a problem.
Listen,
right.
If she literally punched me in the face every day, I'd have to stay.
Right.
So, you know, this
trade-off.
Is,
yeah.
You're the one crying at Wonder.
So is there another trip in the pipeline? Because it seems like every 4 to 6 months you got a little
excursion. I'm trying to think. Last year we went to Colorado, we went to Charleston, we went to Vegas.
Yeah.
And now we've gone to Chicago. I know we're going to Charleston again, and don't ever forget, every summer we go to Ocean City, Maryland.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. Now, Marcus, has the TMOS guys, have they decided on a date and a venue for the Vegas big yearly get-together?
Fuck no.
Okay. You feel like that should be coming down soon, right?
Yes. They keep
teasing. Yeah, sure, any day now. Yeah, I'm gonna. When the phone doesn't ring, I know it's them.
Okay, but I mean, do you know any scuttlebutt of what the? Because I remember last year they already had New Orleans announced at DC, so they had a year out. They had the date, they had the venue, they had it all planned.
Yeah, I have not heard any details as to why it's taking longer. I know that they did say going into this particular cycle they were not going to announce it a year out like they did the last one. They would do it closer to the actual date. But we expected that we would hear at least 6 months in advance, and I think we're approaching that now.
Yeah, all right. We got a couple months then. I mean, it's March, November, so we got 8 months.
Hey, can I say one more thing about Chicago? I want Marcus.
You can say two more things.
I want Marcus to make a guess. So when we were going into the Hancock Tower, they talk about how many there's celebrities that have either are from Chicago or have an affiliation with Chicago, and they say how many of these celebrities high the building is. Would you like to guess the three celebrities?
The three celebrities out of Chicago, how high it is?
I can guess one of them.
Go ahead, Robbie.
Mr. T.
No. Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan is one.
John Belushi.
No.
Oprah.
Oprah's another. Man, Rob's good. Rob's better than you guys are at this.
Barack Obama.
That's exactly who it is.
Well,
the three.
On.
By the way, Lincoln is there like, what the fuck? I get nothing?
Okay, so now Michael Jordan is obviously not from Chicago.
But neither is Barack Obama. I don't know where Oprah's from, but she's probably not from there either.
Okay, but it's fair to say they claim them, right?
Right, they claim.
So what city has the best? I mean, New York's got to be good. The Mount Rushmore of claimed celebrities.
Well, yeah, I mean, you talk about claim, like Babe Ruth's from Baltimore. The New York claims them.
Okay, well, first of all, who's the four? If those are the who's the fourth in Chicago? If those we if
when
we're
say
saying
Chicago,
those are three,
yeah,
if we're
I mean,
saying Oprah, Jordan, and Obama, which is pretty strong.
Yeah,
who's the fourth?
Well, I mean,
Marcus.
Yeah, Marcus would be a better person to guess.
The fourth for Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. The celebrities that either are from there or cut their teeth there or got famous there, they claim.
See, again, I would probably go with one of the Belushis.
One of them, Jim. You go with Jim Belushi.
What about...
No, because if my recollection is correct, John spent a lot of his formidable years in Chicago.
Oh, no,
remember,
yeah.
That's also where they filmed the Blues Brothers, primarily, is in the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, well, but they also got all the Second City people, Gilda Radner. I'm sure that John Candy. I know he's from Canada, but a lot of those guys came through Chicago before fame.
What about Walter Payton or... The Bears.
Well, see, Walter Payton, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, Michael Jordan should be on the Mount Rushmore, but Walter Payton's got to be there first.
What about R. Kelly?
Gail Sayers? Hey, what about Anthony Davis?
Yes.
He's from Chicago. Sorry, that's an inside joke.
All right, we're going to go ahead and say Walter Payton.
All right, we're done.
Okay, well, what's the D.C.?
Wow. All right, let's think.
Marion Barry.
Jeez, I mean, I'm trying to think of the most famous people from D.C. Chappelle?
I was going to say
Dave Chappelle counts. That's strong. It's not a very impressive start, though, if we can't rattle off. Chicago is
David
easy.
David Chang.
What?
Who?
Chef David Chang.
I know that David show, but I mean...
I'm pretty sure he's not on the Mount Rushmore.
Right, yeah. So they have Oprah. We have David Chang.
Martin Lawrence?
Yeah, sure.
Chris Rock?
No, he's not D.C.
He's from D.C.
Really?
Yep.
So is Tommy Davidson.
Wow, you got a shit Mount
Rushmore.
We got
some good comics.
Oh, no, we have great comics.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you talk about athletes. I mean, who's the biggest athlete? Is it Joe Gibbs? Is he the biggest? Because, you know, I mean, would you say he's a D.C. from D.C.?
Well, if we're counting this, that they got famous in D.C., then, yeah, we can count Joe Gibbs.
Gramps.
Gramps. He's West Virginia's finest. All right. Well, that list went nowhere. Feel free to. Nah, you're not going to tweet about it. Nobody cares.
I feel Mr. T got no respect.
Hey, I know we got to take a break, but I do want to say one last thing about my trip and a 77-year-old Lyft driver. Can we do a commercial and let me just close on that?
There you
go. We'll end the Chicago trip on that.
We'll be right back with more Chicago. Rob and Joshua.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for your life, sing for your life, sing, sing, sing for your life.
There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Returning for one night only, Friday, March 16th at Jam and Java in Vienna. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
All right, take it away, Chicago.
So Rob knows the answer to this. I had a Lyft driver. I actually texted Rob a picture of this guy. He's 77 years old, but he looks about 78. I mean, he looks like a fucking old man, okay?
Can we say his name?
Yeah, why can't?
Old man name, too. Herbert.
Herbert is his name. Nobody's named that now. Although sometimes some of these older names come back.
Yeah.
So maybe the Herbert will be big again.
We'll see.
But anyway, Herbert is his name. He's 77 years old. He has a kid, Robbie. How old is this kid?
60.
Younger. Marcus, you want to take a guess?
Well, that's be normal, by the way.
Yeah.
47.
How old is his newest child?
Yes. No. By the way, he may very well have a 60-year-old for all I know, but...
8.
Let me give you a hint. His wife, who's, by the way, mentioned was Filipino, right?
Nice.
She's 36.
Wow.
Okay. And Robbie, the 8 guess, you're not even close. You're not even in the fucking vicinity.
1.
No, 19 months. So he has a 19-month-old, and he is 77 years old. Now, here's the thing.
Are you sure it's his?
Well, I mean, I have no idea if it's his or not, but he said it was his. He said he has a 37-year-old Filipino bride, which he obviously, she came over in the mail or whatever, obviously.
And, obviously.
And here's the thing. That's a fucking selfish-ass thing to do. This kid, when it's 8, its dad's going to die.
Yeah, well, is he driving Lyft because he needs money, or?
Yes, no question.
He ain't a fucking good driver, so we're on our way back. Now, by the way, Lyft, you know, they have it where, you know exactly where to go. You know, it's mapped on there,
yeah.
Right? He has one of these big-ass fucking things up there, and he turns down a one-way street the wrong way. We're in the car. Katie and I are in the car. Thank God. I see it happening, and he... Thank God there's two cars coming at us, but it's not crowded enough for him to be able to turn around and go out the other way. But he's like, oh, I thought I saw it in there. I go, well, you're fucking 77. Well, I mean, he probably has maybe another, honestly, another, what, 3 years of driving?
I don't know. Something's working.
By the way, Gramps
girl pregnant.
Is younger than this guy. If Gramps had a kid in 2 years... That's when this guy... No, actually, Gramps had to have the kid now.
Yeah.
In order to have the kid now.
I'm not smart, but, like, can guys just always knock up women?
Well, yeah, no. They talk about Charlie Chaplin. He had kids in his 80s or 70s or something like that. I mean, yeah. I mean, if you can shoot, you're fine.
It's the female's inability to reproduce.
They're the ones who hit menopause, and they can no longer ovulate. But men, no. They keep going until...
Do you think he thought that was possible, or he just assumed... That he's fine.
I mean, why would you assume that if you've never had a vasectomy and you're just out there, you know, dumping, then,
yeah.
You know. But what's weird to me is as soon as that happened, I'd be like, what's your fucking problem? You know, this kid, as soon as this kid's in middle school, I'm going to die. The most impressionable years for a kid they're going to lose their dad. And by the way, in 4 years, I'm not going to know my own name. So, you know, I mean, we got all kinds of problems that you've created. Unless, I mean, what if they tried? They were trying to get pregnant. We planned this.
Yeah. If she's using some angle to get over here and get pregnant, I mean, you think you'd find a better mark than a 78-year-old.
Well, he's not rich. That much right. I do know.
Does he have a picture of the kid in his car?
No, he didn't. He did have something hanging up. I'm trying to remember what it was. Maybe if Katie's listening, she'll remember. But another Lyft driver I had.
Okay, hold on. Let me.
I can talk about this guy all day.
Let's say he has a picture up. What percentage of people say, is that your granddaughter versus is that your daughter? Great-granddaughter.
Well, nobody
or your
says
daughter.
Nobody says daughter.
But out of a million, one person.
Well, no, yes. Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Listen to me. The number is less than 1%.
Because if you're saying that it's a joke, oh, is that your daughter? That's a joke.
Well, hold on. How many people are saying it is a joke? That's different.
Right.
I don't know. How many people are saying it thinking that it's his daughter?
Right. Maybe no one.
I mean, this guy literally—you saw a picture of him.
Yeah,
he literally—he's not going to be around much longer.
He looks like I thought how King Larry would look. Remember?
Yes, King Larry. Yes. Wow, you're in the way back. Yes, yeah. I remember well. But no, this guy—he didn't think things through. He's not a good driver. This is his vocation. He's going to try to put this kid through college. He's not even going to be able to put this kid through high school.
Yeah, the best case scenario is he goes down a one-way street, gets hit by a car, and dies now.
Gee, I don't think that's the
no,
best
that's not
case
the best
scenario.
Case scenario.
Because
best
at
case...
least the kid was too is too young to know.
The
him.
Best case scenario is that he's a good father, for, yes. And he lives to be 95, and he's 20, and he can handle his death. That's the best case scenario. Now, I'm gonna, let me real quick. There was another. I'm gonna remember a lot about this guy because first of all, I got in his car. He smelled like weed immediately.
Nice.
And as soon as I get in, I go, it smells like weed. And he goes, it must have been the last. Like he got super defensive. I go, dude, I don't care if you were smoking weed before I got in this car. Well, this guy said he's driving a Lyft. By the way, that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
But on top of that, he said that has a fiance he was playing her music. Her name is Shantae Vatrice. By the way, here's what she looks like.
That's the music or the fiance?
That's the fiance, and she's a musician.
Oh, I got you.
Look, Rob, person. That's your speed, right?
Hello.
So she's a big deal, apparently, and he also is an investor and part owner in some vodka company that uses coconut water, which Robbie loves coke, as you know. He's always drinking coconut water.
That's interesting.
It's called Toast. Now, this guy's a Lyft driver. It's all bullshit. Who knows what the reality is? But yeah, but if you want to check out the music of Shantae Vatrice, that's his fiance.
I'm more interested in Toast Vodka. This is the first thing that comes up. Black man creates $1 million vodka brand made from coconut. That's the black man.
Hold on.
Why are they so stupid?
But that's not the guy.
Right.
So you know, again, he's like, well, I was going to invest in such and such, but instead I invested in this vodka. So apparently this guy, whoever this, because I read the same article, like, let me see how full of shit this guy is. Of course, I look it up. There's no mention of him. You know,
do you guys want to guess what website I'm on now? It has black man in the title. It has theblankblackman.com.
Is it porn?
No. Well, I don't think so. Just talking about vodka. This guy's.
Oh, what website? Oh, you're looking at the website that has the vodka?
Yes. No,
The distinguished black man.
The hungry black man. Thehungryblackman.com.
There's a name for the episode.
But are you excited? Yeah, right. Are you excited about Toast Vodka?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I
Me
like vodka.
Too.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does.
Well, I like coconut with rum, not with vodka, right?
Well,
although they have
shot.
Flavored vodkas. They're all delicious.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's Vatrice or Shantae Vatrice's fiance is who,
right.
Part owner in that.
Cool. Well,
also my Lyft driver. Herbert.
Maybe we can get this guy on and talk about his vodka.
Not now that I shit on him.
No, the hunger, the main guy.
Oh, I got you.
The real guy. Not
yeah,
your
but, hey, do you know
Lyft
this
driver?
Lyft driver? He's like, I've never heard of that guy.
All right. Well, good for you, hungryblackman.com. So Katie and Justin, they recorded their first episode of the podcast this week.
Yes,
they did.
This is exciting.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about this podcast.
Explain the podcast again.
The podcast is they literally use the missed connection section from Craigslist and discuss and try to meet these people up. then
match make.
Find the story behind.
Right. They try to find the story, get them together. Maybe they hate each other. Maybe they like each other. Maybe there's indifference. Maybe there's anger. Whatever it is. That's
MCP show on Twitter.
That's the idea. And if they execute this, it's a can't miss. If they execute, people
the
are going
to... The irony of a show about missed connections is a can't miss.
So
thanks for that.
Oh, the other irony is I was in Chicago, the Windy City, and there were 60 degree winds back home.
Yes, that is.
When I came back, everything was blown over.
Oh, yeah. Your house is still here.
It's the only thing that stood up.
We lost some siding. Yeah.
If Robbie will tell you too, I listened to the first episode. Robbie, I think you listened to it live, right?
I did.
And tell me what you thought. Give me your thoughts, Robbie.
I hope that they stick with this because I'm already addicted. I think it's going to be a great, great idea.
There's a lot of work involved. That's the thing. I mean, it's
why I say if they stick with it.
It's going to be arduous. If they're willing to put the work in, I mean, there aren't shows like this. I mean, somebody might copycat it,
right.
but this is going to be the ridge. Well, so.
Justin's already driving to some places to find these people.
It is funny.
Can we listen to it yet? Is it out?
Am I allowed to send the audio to Marcus and to Rob? Is that okay to do? Or
yeah, I think that'd be fine. I had to ask Katie, but I'm sure she wouldn't care.
Okay,
they're not going to publicize it. No.
I think Marcus would play some preview of it on his show.
Yeah, I would have. I think they would be okay with it, but I would want to ask first.
Yeah, please find out.
So, are they planning on recording a few and then releasing them, or is it?
I think this one will be out soon. It's just the intro to what they're trying to do. Okay. They told this one story about this guy who gets his taxes done every year at H&R Block.
Yeah.
And every year the same woman does his taxes, and he's like, you know, he's infatuated with her.
Okay.
So instead of saying, hey, are you single? Would you like to go out sometime? He goes on to miss connections. Well, Justin read where this H&R Block is, went in there, saw her running around in there.
Now, the key question there is this guy making money? Because she knows that. So
that's
broke,
a good point. Who gets their taxes done that are broke?
What are you talking about? Everybody, most people that are broke that do their taxes. I mean,
no, they do their own taxes.
Well, H&R Block isn't expensive.
I don't know.
Isn't that the bottom of the barrel in terms of just going in someplace?
They got hot women, apparently.
Hello.
We're working there.
Apparently they don't, according to Justin.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Okay, way to ruin the show.
Well, it's funny because, Katie goes, was she good looking? He goes, no. So he immediately, and I go, you better be careful because then if she listens, she ain't going to come on once you say she's a troll.
She won't be getting any refund on hotness.
The part I keep repeating that was funny to me is Katie talking about how many penises she's seen.
Oh, yeah. Every time. It's funny. I know you don't watch South Park, but there's an episode where one of them is going on chat roulette to try to make new friends. Mm-hmm. And it literally every time they click it open, it's some guy jerking off. So there. And by the way, when you click on it and it's a penis, it's not just a regular penis. It's always this gigantic Tootsie Roll bank of a cock.
Yeah.
And that's, So she's seen about 18 of those.
That's good for her in person. I told this to Wanda, and she goes, oh, well, then you and I should do a podcast. I go, really? What are we going to talk about? And she just starts listing things that I don't do around the house that women would agree with that I should be doing. So I'm like, this is shitting on me.
I mean, it's interesting. If you guys did one episode of the Rob and Joe show where that happened, that would be very interesting.
Yes.
Yes, it would be.
Now, eventually, people are like, God, you can't.
Right.
I can't just listen to Rob get abused
again. I'm
just
going to kill myself. Well, the show's over. Rob's dead. Because she said that she left. There was a piece of, paper on the bathroom floor that she wanted to see how long it went until I picked it up. I just didn't see it. I'm an idiot.
I love Tawanda, but that...
I don't think she placed it on purpose. I know.
Yeah. Right, but then she's testing.
Yes.
I'm not going to be critical of Tawanda. I'm going to talk about me.
Yeah.
That shit infuriates. Don't test. Just let's be real people. If it bothers you that I do that, say it, and I'll try to rectify it because I want to be a good boyfriend. But don't have some sort of... There's an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond where... He comes home from a trip and he leaves his bag on the stairwell and she waits to see how long it'll be before it gets taken up. And that's funny if it's a sitcom, but if it's in reality and you're testing me so you can then throw it in my face that it took me 2 weeks to do it or whatever, I'm not going to like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm losing a lot of those tests. I'm failing.
No reflection on Tawanda. Yeah. This is what I don't like.
Fair enough. Right. We have to talk about the Oscars, the big event, TV event Sunday night. You, Joe, you got every single... you predicted every major award correctly.
Well, when I said that, Robbie goes, man, that wasn't very difficult.
Yeah,
I predicted best adapted screenplay. I predicted best documentary.
Well, that seems hard.
Well, it was the only one that I'd seen.
Okay.
Icarus.
I thought, what did Kobe win for?
God, it's so hilarious. So
animated short.
It's an animated short, and it was called, like, I Love Basketball, or some Basketball His Life, or whatever.
Dear Basketball.
I have no idea what it's about. I don't want to shit on Kobe. But, like, there was an old white guy that clearly, you know, I mean, Kobe's not in there editing film. He's not cutting this. He's not animating.
Right.
I would like to, but apparently the story is his, which means... They said, look, we need to attach your name to this because we have this thing that we want to do. Hey, if Kobe Bryant is writing stories, that's great.
Good for him.
Whatever. But he now has as many Oscars as Leonardo DiCaprio.
I know. I saw that tweeted out 1,000 times.
It's Kobe's letter talking about retiring from basketball that he wrote, apparently.
Oh, now I get it.
Well, that's cool.
That makes sense. So he wrote a letter. And then some guy grabbed it and said, hey, I can make something out of this, animated it, and then it won an Oscar, and then Kobe did get the writing credit because it's the letter he wrote.
Good for him. Okay. Good for Kobe.
One more thing before we get into the Oscars deeply. Robbie, did you see that not only was Sean Young, a clip of her was in one of the little montages, yes. But she was thanked.
Yes.
And I tweeted it out. Former Robin Joe Show guest Sean Young... Both seen and mentioned in a thank you.
Oh, you want to call her right now?
She's red hot right now.
Red hot. We can't get her.
But, you know, I predicted best adapted screenplay. I predicted best documentary. And I predicted all the majors. Right?
I think you and J.L. Covan both pretty much got them all right. You two, speaking of doing podcasts together... You two see every movie. You're now MoviePass super fans.
Yes.
You should do a podcast together.
Well, he's so mad. By the way, one thing that he does that infuriates me.
is good for the podcast.
I liked Wonder Woman. The fact that I like it, and I said I liked it better than, I can't remember what other movie. Now all of a sudden it's my favorite movie of all time. You see what I'm saying? Like and that's the other thing. It's like, let's say, for example, I think two great basketball players are, one is better than the other.
Right.
Well, doesn't mean, like, I think LeBron is better than Jordan. I don't think Jordan sucked.
Right.
So that's where things devolve. Not that JL does this, but that makes me crazy when you get attached to something that I don't.
Which would make for a good podcast discussion. So the JL and Joe, it's hard to say. We're at the work on that. We'll get MoviePass to sponsor. Make that happen, guys.
Well, can I come in after he complains about his comedy career for 30 minutes, and then I'll come, and then I'll participate?
No, I love that. I love when he complains. It makes me feel better.
Man, I listened to this last one. Listen to The Righteous Prick.
Oh, I did. It was good stuff.
God, he goes just... here's the thing, and he might already know this. I don't think he does himself any favors.
I think
by being so... outspoken about how unfair he's being treated, and I don't know, maybe
I don't think it matters. I think it's for his own sanity.
All right, well,
if he was on some sort of radar, then they, you know, that would be different. But I don't think industry's listening to this or his.
Oh, aren't you the guy that said you should be headlining? Right. Yeah, no, you're probably right.
If anything, that should. But being a villain is a good thing. But
I don't think he's a villain.
No, but
I don't think
mean,
he is.
The truth teller.
He sounds like a whiner.
Well, I enjoy that. I like that. Because I agree with pretty much everything he says. So,
well, he is right about the fact that in 1988, the first time I ever got paid to do comedy, it wasn't featuring, but features made $100.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Now here we are, 2018, and features still make $100 if they make that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Some people pay them less than that. But ticket prices have gone up. Clearly they've gone up.
Of course. Right? Gas has gone up. Everything's gone up. So... the Oscars. The only movie I saw that got any sort of run and nominations was Get Out. Because, you know, I see no movies, and I like Get Out. I liked it a lot. I'm glad it won for best original screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really have an opinion on much of else. But it did seem like, to me, there were a lot of movies that were up for Best Picture that I saw people openly talking about that they hate it. Shape of Water, Three Billboards.
People hated Three Billboards?
I saw a lot of people saying Three Billboards.
God,
trash.
Three Billboards is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's terrific.
God, it's so good. Well, here's the thing. There are going to be people, you know, Pulp Fiction got a 90%. Right? People are idiots. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, 90% is good. I mean, I've seen people say overrated before, like, but it seemed like more people hated those movies than the movie that Robbie hated, the Michael Keaton Birdman thing.
There's a movie called Lars and the Real Girl. Robbie, have you ever seen it?
I have.
God, it's so great. But anyway, they literally make you kind of fall in love with this relationship between Ryan Gosling and this fucking doll, right? Mm-hmm. So you think about a movie like The Shape of Water, and if you can get past the ridiculousness of it, which you have to, right. I mean, why is it less ridiculous for this to happen than for something to get on a speaking spell and phone home or whatever, or fix your finger with a lit finger, right?
Right.
So you have to suspend this reality, and what they make you do is love the relationship between this fucking fish man, and he's horrifying looking, and this woman. And the fact that he's able to create this universe where you fall in love with these characters. Listen, if that's lost on you, well, you know, I mean, we're just not similar people.
Right.
It is a great movie. You know, all the movies that I saw that were up for Best Picture, I really liked. I think the one I liked the least was A Phantom Thread, because I've seen, and I don't want to ruin anything about that, but there's a movie called The Secretary with James Spader and Maggie Gyllenhaal, yeah, which has kind of a more, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not as subtle of an arc, but it ends up in the same place.
Right.
And it's a better film. But this one is very obviously beautifully set and beautifully costumed and so forth, and obviously amazingly acted. But, oh, I'm sorry. The worst Best Picture was The Post. The Post is just a fucking hand job. That's all it is. I mean, did you see it, Robbie?
No, I didn't, but the previews did not appeal to me at all.
Well, it's one of these, you know, I've already compared it to, like, Remember the Titans, right? Remember the Titans is a fine movie. It's not a great film. If you think it is, you're ridiculous. It's a formula piece. It's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tug, and then there's going to be a payoff. This little girl's going to know a bunch about football. You know what I mean? All these people are going to not like each other, but this guy's going to be a racist. He's going to come around. He's going to lose his legs. Whatever the fuck happened in this thing, right? And I enjoy this just like I enjoy Taken. We talked about this before, but The Post, it's, I don't know. It's one of these things like, here's how we want to try to make you feel. Let's see if we can do it with these great actors. It was fine. You know, I'm never going to watch it again.
So were you happy with the winners? Did you think that mostly deserving?
Yeah. I mean, I think about it like there are times when my favorite movie wasn't the movie that I thought should have won Best Picture. Like, I definitely thought Boyhood should have won Best Picture because of the undertaking, what was involved, but it wasn't my favorite movie.
Right.
You know?
This was last year, correct?
Well, Boyhood was several years ago.
Really?
Yeah. But this year, clearly The Shape of Water was the boldest undertaking of any of the movies. Robbie, do you agree with that?
Yes, of course.
I mean, what he was able to accomplish, you know, I mean, actually, other than that, outside of that, I guess Get Out.
Yeah.
You know, and I did love Get Out, but Get Out wasn't The Shape of Water. Get Out was a great, great, delicious hamburger, and The Shape of Water was some fucking Top Chef or whatever, or what's Chef's Table kind of meal. I mean, it was something that, if we see anything like it again, it is just going to be derivative of this. It was, what they did was pretty amazing what they accomplished in this film.
Do you think, and as a comedy person, I mean, I kind of take a little bit of, I like that Key and Peele, they came from the sketch background, and now he's writing this screenplay that's obviously not a comedy to great success. I mean, I think that's good.
I think it's a horror comedy. I think that's what it is. It's not Evil Dead.
But it's not, it's Key and Peele's sketch comedy.
No,
nothing close
I understand what you're saying, but I do think, well, first of all, there's a ton of comic relief in it. I don't know who that one guy was who's fucking hysterical.
Yes,
whatever that guy is, right?
Lil Rao, he's blowing up.
God, he's so funny.
Yes.
So that movie, the thing about it is that people look at this, I don't know, pomp, I guess is the way to look at it, where, you know, it's this snooty way of viewing this. And as a result, comedies are never considered to be one of the best films. I know we just talked about JL. He goes apeshit over Coco not being nominated for Best Picture. We won one Best Animated Picture. I'm sure it's phenomenal.
Yeah, Key and Peele were robbed when they didn't get nominated for that movie where they're chasing around that cat.
Moana? No. What is it? Yeah. You know Tiffany Haddish? That's her cat now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
No, but it's good to see. Look, so a lot of these things that, you know, you're kind of like, oh, God, they're important. They are. I get it. We you know, we need to kind of look at this world not as white manny as we look. I genuinely believe that. But I also, as important, we need to say, look, it's as hard to make fucking Office Space as it is to make, you know, maybe not Dunkirk, right?
Right.
But I mean, to achieve on that level of comedy, that's fucking hard to do. You know, people are trying to do it. Sometimes it ends up being, dude, where's my car? You know, but when you make a movie as funny as, you know, some of these movies, and I don't know, was there a great comedy? The Disaster Artist, if I talk about what I enjoyed the most in the theater this year, what I enjoyed the most, my favorite theater-going experiences this year were Get Out and The Disaster Artist. That's my favorite time that I had. And The Disaster Artist, it had to be a comedy. Maybe it was a dramedy of sorts.
But it got no love, correct?
Well, yeah, because James Franco got in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And then as a result, it only got one nomination. Yeah. But clearly, if James Franco hadn't been listed as among somebody who's, you know, may or may not have done something inappropriate, there's no doubt he would have been nominated for Best Actor. There's no doubt in my mind.
But they couldn't have him win, and they couldn't have him be nominated, and then that becoming something we're all going to talk about, and they just didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, I can get into that. You know,
they just gave Kobe an Oscar, and hey, didn't he have some troubles, right?
He did. I mean,
so it's hypocritical.
Yeah, that's a touchy subject right now. I saw people bring that up on Twitter and Facebook, and people get crazy. But Kobe, in his own words, did say in the deposition that he could see why she didn't give consent in her mind.
Fair enough. And again, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole.
I don't. Yeah, it's just.
But James Franco literally is accused of pushing a girl's head down. Now, meanwhile, they went on to continue to date.
Exactly.
I mean, it's fucking crazy. And, you know, and now that maybe cost this guy an Oscar. I don't know, man. It's this idea of me being a white man, and as a result, I'm like, well, God, let's keep it the old way. I would be able to slap women on the ass. No. I want consent to matter. That's all. If you concede, I want that to matter.
Right.
I don't want it to cost you your career.
Well, this was Gary Oldman's year, so he wouldn't have won anyway.
You're right about that. And I love The Darkest Hour, but Oldman, you know, there's no Oldman in that. I don't even know if the movie works.
Well, Gary Oldman has his own stuff
he had some,
with that.
He had some anti-Semitic remarks. I think it was in Playboy or something like that. Almost.
No, I thought he had his own sexual harassment.
That may be a different thing.
I don't know. Let's take a break. We'll get back to some more entertaining things. Rob and Josh will be right back.
Hello again. It's Gramps back again urging you to join Patreon. Recently, my son Joe revealed that an engagement ring purchase and a proposal are imminent for him. Rob is feeling more pressure than ever. Can you imagine what it will be like at home for Rob once Katie receives that ring? The scowls and the tension will be unbearable. Don't you want him to finally be able to get that ring and propose to? Hasn't that poor woman suffered long enough? Well, you can help. Become a Rob and Joe subscriber on Patreon. Not only will you receive all the great bonus shows and premium content that's causing such a buzz, but you'll also be giving to a good cause, Robin Tawanda's future. How else is he going to afford that ring? He can't even win that $25 prize at Comedy Kumite. And in case you were worried that I might stop hitting on Tawanda, you need not. Nothing can stop me. Engaged, married, those things never get in my way.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Ooh, you're guilty, motherfucker. Yeah. Is that me?
Yes.
That, it's one thing that, and we sort of touched on this last week regarding Black Panther, but somebody said, it was some black director or actor, I don't know exactly who it was, but he was talking about Wonder Woman and how when Wonder Woman, he saw women crying in the theater And he said, this must be what white guys felt like when they watched, you know, insert whatever. And I'm thinking, I really don't understand that, because I never felt different watching. To me, when I watch Denzel Washington in Equalizer, it's the same as watching Liam Neeson, the same Matt Damon. It's the same as watching the John Wick. I mean, it's all the same thing.
Well, we talked about this before. Maybe we're not the people that where they need to be enlightened. Maybe it's just not us. Doesn't mean those people don't exist.
Right.
But maybe that just doesn't apply to us. Or maybe, I'm sure some people think that it does. But
well, that doesn't mean that women or black people can't feel a certain way watching Wonder Woman or Black Panther, but I don't think there is a white equivalency. So you don't need to try to make one, because it's like, you know, I mean, I grew up, I watched The Cosby Show, then Family Ties. To me, they meant the same thing to me. They're great shows. I didn't identify necessarily.
I used to watch Wonder Woman on television. Never occurred to me. By the way, Robbie, how many did we ever miss Wonder Woman when it came on?
No, I think we caught every episode.
We watched the entire series of Wonder Woman from its inception to when it went off the air. And I never, ever, ever thought, oh, I don't like this because it's a girl. It never occurred to me. And one thing I'm going to say about it, and then when we get all, let's talk about something more hilarious. But all I'm saying is, don't impose your narrative on me. I genuinely feel how I feel.
Right.
I don't distinguish. If you do, I respect it. But the idea that somehow, and I will use the example again, as the kid was wearing the Baddest Monkey in the Jungle shirt, the person that took that picture didn't see color, that's got to be okay sometimes. Sometimes it has to be okay for people who really don't distinguish between black and white or whatever. They don't distinguish. They say, this is a good film, this is a bad film, this is a good actor, this is a bad actor. And I want that to be okay. Maybe we're in a place where we still need to be more conscious of it, so we have to think about how the outliers feel, or maybe they're not the outliers. Maybe we're naive and most people are saying, oh, that was good except for that it was a woman, or that was good except for that. Maybe that's happening. But
yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's because we're white and that's what we are. Our privilege, if you are, advantage is that we just enjoy things for what they are. But I mean, I don't, are black people watching Michael Phelps and not feeling the same thing that I am? I don't know.
When people are celebratory because things happen within their race, I'm excited for progress, but I also am disappointed that we have to care this much.
Right.
We should be, and the goal should be indifference it towards who's in it, right? Who cares what color they are? I don't care. If we get there, obviously that's the goal. The goal isn't that we start recognizing people for their color. No, the goal is that we don't see it at all. That was the, by the way, that's what in the March on Washington, that's what Martin Luther King said.
He did.
He doesn't want to see it. So,
well, we'd have to ask Gramps about that. He was there. He doesn't want to see it. But, you know, I remember when George Foreman had his comeback and I was watching, you know, he won the title and he fought Holyfield.
Remember who he beat?
He beat Michael Moore.
Yeah, knocked him out.
So I remember my dad and I watching that, and my dad really pulling for George Foreman. But that was because it's the old guy. And that was was the motivation. Old guy, the old guy still has it. That was,
well, in they were both black, so
but that's my point is like, maybe that's what we have, that our privilege as a white person is we can just go on the narrative of the storyline. It doesn't matter if it's of male or female. Like I feel like when I watch Wonder Woman kick ass or Salt or Black Widow and the Avengers, I feel exactly the same way I do when I watch, you know, Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. I like somebody kicking ass and it's cool.
I don't relate
to it because I never kicked anyone's ass.
I will say how disappointed I was to hear that Death Wish was bad.
Yeah,
God, that made me bummed out.
But I wanted it to be
because
good.
The idea. I remember seeing the original Death Wish. Robbie, do you remember where we saw it?
No.
We were in West Virginia.
Really?
Yes. And we saw it was on TV. And I remember saying, I was blown away by it, the idea of, because it's so satisfying.
Yes.
This guy, something horrible happens to this guy's family. He goes back and systematically exacts revenge on every one of them. It yes. feels so fucking good. So when they said, oh, we're going to remake it, I go, well, that's natural. So clearly, that's the
and
movie
they got
to remake.
Bruce Willis, and it's a no-brainer.
How do you blow it?
I don't
how
know.
Do you blow it? Now, it has, it's always the reviews and then the audience score. I think the audience score is in the 80s.
Well, that's good.
So it might be a kind of roadhousey. I don't know. I don't know, but
I'll watch it when it comes on to cable.
I was seriously, Katie, I'll tell this cryptically. Katie wanted to see, was it Red Sparrow? Is that the name of it?
Yes. JL said that was better than the reviews.
We ended up not going to the movies at all, but I wanted to see Death Wish. And she said, if you go see Red Sparrow, I'll do this.
Ah.
Now we end up not seeing Red Sparrow and not getting that. But regardless,
lose.
I was definitely willing to change from Death Wish to Red Sparrow.
Of course.
Yeah, but I ended up not seeing the movie and then not getting my treat.
So I have a big weekend of hanging out with one of the big stars of the Oscars, not for winning anything, but for her onstage performance, Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited for you, man. That's a huge gig for you.
You know, it's interesting. This will be the fourth time I've worked with her, and there are four levels of fame probably, because the first time was, I want to say, 4 or 5 years ago, the Arlington Draft House. She, you know, she'd done a few little spots in her TV spots, probably more known in black comedy world, but she was cool. We got along. Good times, didn't exchange information or anything. So then I saw her, I want to say October of 16 at Magoobies. We worked together and she remembered me from Arlington, which I thought was cool. We hung out a lot more. Tawanda came over. I drove her back to the hotel one night. We exchanged information. Donnie Sinstack was there studying Donnie. We all hung out.
He
was the MC. She talked about bringing us on the road. Scott Bergson was there. And I remember trying to get Scott to hit on her, but you should have, Scott.
God, what a dumbass.
You dropped that ball. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and at that.
Man, he is definitely the worst Bergson.
Yeah. Clearly. Mac is dominating. Now, at that point, she was on the Carmichael Show, which is a network TV show. She was on the Cat movie that we just referenced with
Key and Peele.
Yeah. So she was definitely a step up. Her career was on the rise, but she wasn't like a draw or some household name by any means. Then, and she mentioned during that point that she had just filmed this Girls Trip movie, which she thought was going to be huge. Now, it turned out to be the summer blockbuster. And then I worked with her in Virginia Beach last September.
By the way, let me interrupt. She's also was the star of that movie.
Oh, yeah. The
Breaker. So already yes. a great movie, and then she's the one who, it was almost, well, though The Hangover is a bad analogy because there were two breakout stars, and Bradley Cooper's career started right. in there, and also Zach Galifianakis's film career.
Yes,
but yeah, I mean, she was the breakout star of that film.
So then in VA Beach, where she sold out every show, and she ended up bringing like a feature and like a hair person and an IMC'd, but she got that for me. Now I'm already in with that club, so I probably could have got it regardless. But she did, you know, make calls and stuff for me. And we hung out then. We went to karaoke afterwards. It was just, again, super cool. And then, you know, she mentioned these theater dates. And I said, you know, I'd love to do that. She goes, let me know. So, you know, I have her phone number, but, you know, is she changing her number now that she's super famous? Is she going to keep that? Is she blocked? You think at some point someone gets too big that they're not going to answer your text. So I texted her a couple months ago regarding these dates, because she has a one at the Borgata in Atlantic City Friday night, the Warner Theater right here in D.C., Saturday, and then Richmond the following Friday, the 16th. And I said, hey, I'd love to get on these shows. She goes, give me your email. I said, okay. So then someone, one of her people emails me. You know, they're paying me. It's a whole deal. It's official. And I'm like, that's super cool. So now she's... So this is the fourth level. Now she's pretty much, she's A-lister.
She was on the Oscars. I mean, yeah. she was, what award did she give away, Robbie? I mean, she gave one of the major awards, right?
No, it was not a major award.
Oh, but sorry. She and
Maya Rudolph
had probably the best presenter comedy, you know, fun, lighthearted moments.
Well, it was a fucking hell of a lot better than Luke Skywalker and the God, man. That
horrific.
Was
horrific. So now I'll be opening in the in theaters for her, and now I'd like to do more. So hopefully that'll go well. But you know, it is And her friend, her feature in Virginia Beach, said to me, Tiffany likes you, and she's loyal. She, when she likes somebody, that's good. So I said, okay, that's good. It's good for me to know.
Maybe you'll be in the next movie with her.
Well, yeah, I think she's got a Netflix special coming out.
Girls Trip and Rob.
Girls Trip too. I'll be pitching ideas. She's going to host the MTV Movie Video Awards. But this is, you know, somebody that big usually isn't still doing stand-up.
No.
Kevin Hart.
No, you're right. And yeah, that it might be... this might be short-lived, so you better... And by the way, I would make a joke about her number stop working. So she knows, hey, if you don't hear from me, it means I can't find you. You know
right.
what I mean? You need to be able to yeah. find her at some point. You don't want to be in her DMs on fucking Twitter or whatever. You want to make sure you aren't.
She gave away best documentary short.
Hey, that's the okay. that's the Kobe... Oh, no, it wasn't. No. It was...
That was animated.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. So that's going to be...
A lot of people are talking about the two of them hosting the Oscars now.
Yeah. Doing a movie together, Thelma and Louise, a reboot.
I saw Jerry Seinfeld. We talked about this, and his feature was a fucking turd. I said his name. Do you remember it, Robbie? God, he was fucking horrible.
Yeah. The old guy, I can't remember.
Man, he was atrocious.
Well, I don't know. I'm doing 10 to 15. I don't know if there's someone else before me, after me. I don't know how that works. At the Borgata, I booked a hotel room. I didn't know what they were going to do. And I paid extra so that I could get it. I could get refundable. And then they emailed and said, we have a room for you. I said, okay, sweet.
No, that's cool.
Because that was a $400 room for a Friday night.
Jeez.
Yes.
I don't know what they're paying you, but.
Well, there's two shows and there's two shows. She takes care of people, so.
No, you'll crush, and it'll be, it's buttoned up. It's not like a regular comedy club, you know what I mean? Assuming you're in the same room that Seinfeld was in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful room.
There'll be a couple thousand people there, right? Or
yeah.
is it 1,000?
No, that's probably a couple thousand. I also want, they do comedy there on a regular basis. I've been trying to get in, and maybe this will help me with the book or see.
Will you wear a jacket on stage?
I probably will, yeah, sport coat. Probably
wear
jeans.
Tie?
No tie. I wear jeans, sport coat, button-up.
T-shirt, sunglasses, Miami Vice.
Will you wear the sport coat you wear in the Newly Dead game?
Well, I've worn three different ones, so...
Tuxedo.
I don't know which one you're referring to, so...
What is
I have
she...
two nice coats and
I'm
one
just
old
messing with you.
That's fine.
What is... what she better check out what she's going to wear.
Well, she's going to look sexy. I mean, she's, you know...
She should wear that same dress she wore last night.
People yeah. know. I doubt yeah. she... By the way, I doubt she owns that dress.
Oh, really?
No, I'm sure she does. I think
no,
that was...
you don't people...
No, she bought, you don't understand the joke. She bought that dress, and then she wore it on SNL, and in her monologue, she said, I paid $4,000 for this. I'm going to keep wearing it, and then she wore it at the Oscars.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So that was a little, yeah, every woman in the world now loves her because they relate to buying an expensive dress and wanting to rewear it. So she pushed every right button last night. So, and now she gets to hang out with
me. Not according to Robbie. Robbie,
oh, yeah.
Robbie didn't like that
she was. That last thing was a little unprofessional.
Oh, my God, unprofessional.
She's supposed to get that part right.
What did she get wrong, Robbie?
By the way, she was funnier than Chappelle was last night by a million miles.
She was great, but it was the thing that disappointed me that she didn't get the line right. You're supposed to say the Oscar goes to, and she said the winner is.
No, I almost didn't give the Oscar away because of that.
As many people care about that as is that think that Herbert's 13-month-old is his daughter.
Hey, by the way, the nobody, even when it happened, knew.
Right.
There's literally
I
this
knew.
Tiny percentage
yeah,
of people that said, wait a minute, that's not what they normally
no,
say.
No, I'm telling you, there was like five producers backstage. The Oscars went, oh.
Can we talk about our tweets that landed and didn't land? Because I have more things that didn't do well.
Sure, I think I had four Oscar tweets. So here we go. My biggest Oscar tweet. Oh, look at them, I'm getting some love right now.
Oh, look at you.
So my biggest success with 10 likes. Former Robin Joe Show guest Sean Young just shown in a clip and thanked during acceptance speech. We've made it. That had 10 and 2 retweets.
Good.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, and I purposely didn't add a hashtag that would have made this easier to understand because I'm tired of appeasing to idiots. I said 30 minutes after Kobe wins an Oscar and we're all talking about Jordan. Now, the joke is a Jordan Peele.
Right. And still Michael Jordan
nobody,
parallel guy.
Nobody got it.
Okay. So then I got, it was a tweet about, what's her name? Oh, can I like your message and still think you're nuts? #best actress. That was regarding Frances McDormand.
Yes.
God, I mean.
What did that get?
It's, I think, 8. Hold on. 8 likes.
Because this bothers me, because I had a similar, or I had a tweet about her speech that only got 1 like. The Inclusion Riders is the name of my motorcycle gang.
That's pretty funny.
And it got nothing.
Okay. No, it doesn't get anything.
Yeah, yeah. Robbie had a very classic Twitter thing. Was it Melissa Booker yes.
Yeah.
God bless her. She says we have our 350th show coming up. Any plans? And Robbie responds with, that'll be a bonus show. And Mac responds, it's the most Robbie thing ever. So, yes, it is.
Yeah, that's for sure.
An update on my dancing joke that no one's getting, and I told last week, and you wanted me to change it because I don't even think you got it. I did it 2 times at shows this weekend. Instead of saying, the joke is, they say how you can tell how a guy's in bed by how he dances, which I think is bullshit, because I can dance, what I originally was saying, for 20 minutes straight. And then a minute later, I can start dancing again. I changed it to 30 minutes straight, got a laugh, a minute later, laugh. And then I added, and I never dance alone to Katy Perry videos. Got another laugh. So I feel like maybe I fixed that.
Way to go, man. I knew you could do it.
Thank you.
I knew that I didn't get it. I mean, I got the joke.
Well, you wanted me. I don't think you got that I was saying I can't have sex for 20 minutes straight.
No.
That's too long.
We're going to have this conversation again.
Maybe. Oh, God. Sorry, Robbie.
It's okay.
All right. One thing I do want to say in closing. I got a text from Eric Woodworth. And this is very surprising to me, but apparently his wife is a big fan of the Rob and Joe show.
Well, hello, Mrs. Woodworth.
So, hello. Apparently she doesn't like to get, so we can't say her name because she likes to be in the shadows.
Fair enough.
But one thing she said, which I want to make sure that you guys are aware of, was that she found my voice very soothing and relaxing. That's not a joke.
I think there's a lot of ways to describe your voice. Soothing and relaxing are not any
well,
of them.
They're
not
you.
So, okay. Well, do you think?
Do I think my voice is soothing?
I mean, you know. Do you think she thinks Eric's voice is soothing and relaxing?
Eric has kind of a high voice.
Yeah.
So, my voice is probably, I mean, it's lower.
Who would you say has a better radio voice?
Marcus.
Between Joe and I.
Oh.
Robbie.
You.
Okay. Do you think it's obvious?
No.
Well, what do you mean by better? Because my voice is much more distinct. Oh, I got you.
Just talking about tone.
Yeah.
Just more traditional.
It's weird.
Radio voice.
Because when you listen to Howard Stern's old broadcasts,
yes,
his voice is like an octave higher than it is now. He just trained himself to come down here and talk in this like this.
Do you want to give a smooth? What she's described as smooth and what?
Relaxing.
Why don't you give a smooth and relaxing message to Eric Woodward's wife?
Mm.
Something sidewalk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Thanks. I thought Robbie was going to play a bed for me to
that's
do this.
That's what I thought.
But
wow.
Instead, he took another shit on me. Hey, thank you again. Oh, shoot. Beep that out, Robbie.
God.
Hi, Mrs. Woodworth. Thank you for joining us once again. I hope that this episode was as smooth and relaxing as our past. But if it wasn't, I hope we do better in the future. And I miss you so much.
Wow. Take that, Eric.
Sorry, Eric.
Oh, please give me the baguette.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
Shit on Joe Day.
All right. Good show, guys. Murder Mysteries coming up, not this week, the following week, back at the Jam in Java, March 16th. Sing for Your Life. We've done the show in Africa and in the Middle East, and now we're doing it back in the U.S. a Friday night, 7 p.m., jamandjava.com. And then the debut on March 20th, Smooth Criminal, all Michael Jackson music, singing, dancing. The 20th of March, the Ramset on stage in beautiful Annapolis, Maryland. Gramps will be there, correct?
I don't know. He's in chat, although it'll take him 10 minutes to do it. Yes, you said yes, Robbie?
Gramps and Aunt Mom will be there, and I will be there.
Fantastic.
Will Eric's wife be there?
She better. Thank you, guys. We have a bonus show. We're recording it next week, which updates from our last bonus show. There's news on that front. So get on it, folks. Until then, later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.